hearing of Senate Bill 498. Senator Bill Fisher, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Chair Hannon, members of the committee. I continue to get frustrated with what is the problem. I'm Bill Fisher, and I'm the senator from District 23. And during the interim, one of the truck operators brought a problem to me that they have in removing the damaged vehicles from the freeways and streets and roads of the state. And it seemed to me in talking with them that the people that are banning these vehicles ought almost to be responsible for those costs. I believe California or Washington, on the other, has a law already where they're denying driver's licenses or car titles or whatever the case might be to people that have abandoned vehicles and have not paid the storage charges and storage charges or whatever they have against that vehicle. I would like to see the same thing happen in Oregon. We have reciprocity with several of the states, and if we could follow these folks up and stop them from getting driver's licenses, stop them from purchasing and getting new car titles or something like that in the process until they paid the fees, it would considerably relieve the burden on our towing companies. And it would also, I think, be a real discouragement for people just walking off and leaving the vehicle. We're having a lot of problems already around taking cars and pretty well stripping them, taking engine transmissions and anything, most of the parts that aren't worth any value, and throwing them someplace to a side street in a town and just leaving them. A lot of times they don't even bother to take the tow rope off them. And then the tow companies have to come and do that, and the police require them to do that free of charge, and then they have to try to get the money that it cost them to go out and do the towing, either by charging more money to the people that do pay for their towing charges, or by trying to get the vehicle transferred over to them and then sell it to somebody at a wrecking yard to try to recoup their money. And it's a time-consuming process. It's expensive for them. Most of the tow operators don't have big enough lots to do a lot of the storage and stuff like that over a period of time to get it done. If they have to take the vehicle then to the junkyard themselves, they have to take it there and remove the tires, and then they've got the tires, they have to go back and try to remount them, and then they've got to mess with the rims and mess with the charges of trying to get rid of the tires and all kinds of things that happen. We had another bill that would allow, I mean, they're already on the way, would allow state police to work with the tow companies, and if there was in an area a company that had a wrecking yard and they wish to pick up the abandoned vehicles and take them and use them at the wrecking yard where they had an opportunity to sell the spare parts and things like that, like reduced parts, that it would be lots more feasible for them to do it than the average tow company. So we're trying every way we can to work within the system to cut down costs and try to fix the costs where they belong. I understand right now that you've been given permission to have a hearing only on this bill because of the fiscal impact. However, I think that that fiscal impact can be buffered considerably by money that's picked up from the people if the fines are increased, the students have to be increased to them before they can renew their driver's license and so forth. Especially if we got the help of California, Washington, some of the surrounding states, I think it's considered to dampen the amount of cars we should have on the freeway, not only for on our roads and not only that, but it would also make it to where our towing companies and things weren't having to do so much for gratis, and thereby it should at least, if it doesn't lower the towing charges for those that do have to pay for them, at least they don't have to pay for them over a period of time. So I would urge your looking at this bill, and I will work with the way you need to hire us to get your documents and go ahead and get your work back on this.
Question, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, you mentioned the reciprocity with other states. That's as to withholding driver's licenses and so forth if money is owed. Do we have reciprocity to tow their vehicles? And is there some potential for reimbursement back and forth for a vehicle with a license in Washington or California?
I really don't know all of the particulars. I would guess that even with reciprocity, that if there's a problem with a vehicle, it would be no different basically than a problem with the driver with the license.
We would be responsible for it here, though.
Get it off the freeway, I would guess.
Okay.
But certainly the person should be charged for it in the state or out of state. That would be my intention.
You follow up, Mr.
Yes. Yeah.
You indicate that police are required, are requiring the towing company to free a charge for this removal. What kind of arrangement is that? That sounds like involuntary servitude.
Well, it borders on that, but that's been going on for a long period of time, and that's why we had the other bill would allow them to, if a wrecking yard had a tow truck and they wanted to pick up all the abandoned cars and then take them in and throw them for used parts and so forth, they geared up to handle that kind of thing a lot better than the average tow truck driver. But what happened was the police were reluctant to do that on a basis that they'd have to keep two lifts, and they normally just have a lift, and when you come up for an abandoned vehicle, you have to go out and pick it up in order to remain on the list of the ones that they would be free to choose to pay.
So it's part of the franchise, if you will.
We're giving them an option to, if one particular person in the area operates and wants to pick up all the abandoned vehicles they can, and the police and are allowed to
One more follow-up, if I may. Yeah. Is there some sort of a fast-track mechanism to obtain the title to a vehicle that's left towed? Is there some way that we could maybe facilitate those folks so that they wouldn't have as much charge for moving it and then storing it and then moving it and then, you know, posting the motor?
I'm not just wondering if you're I'm not just real sure how that process all takes place. There isn't a terribly long process. I understand it takes about a month. You have to keep the vehicle for a certain length of time and then fill out a certain set of papers and file those papers and that process to me was described to me in probably a month, as I recall. But I don't know whether it's going to be made faster or whether a bill something similar to that.
And it appears to me, Mr. Chair, that if that fast tracking could give us something shorter than a month, because in a month, if you said the impound charge was $15 or $20 a day, it must be a secured arrangement and so forth. If we could look towards some sort of a fast tracking arrangement on that, so that we didn't get as much money into it, then maybe it might make it lucrative enough for the actual tow operators to be able to obtain their money out of those vehicles, even if it went for crushed metal. The description that you give, Senator, is that a lot of them are already stripped and just left on streets and really come down just to scrap metal price.
I think, Mr. Chair, President Butler, I think the biggest problem is the towing expense, actually, and trying to get them then, you have to take them in and tow them, do the paperwork, then you have to get them back up and tow them again to the wrecking yard. In some places, wrecking yards are 15, 20 miles away that will accept them. I know we have that situation down in Roseburg. And then if they have to bring the tires back, it's just a real problem, and not all the vehicles are stripped, and I couldn't tell you the percentage of the ones that are, but most of the abandoned vehicles aren't of great worth, and they probably got a few parts on that used or a wrecking yard could pull out and sell used, which would be much more valuable to the wrecking yard than it would be to the average children.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Fisher, what could stop these folks from joining the ranks of people out there who are driving unlicensed and therefore uninsured?
I don't know that there's anything that can stop a person when he's totally irresponsible, but at least we'd have the pressure of not being able to get a driver's license, or maybe not being able to purchase a title or get a title to another vehicle until they had straightened up their tow bill and, you know, just fees that it cost the state in order to do these things.
One of my concerns is, first off, not all abandoned vehicles are abandoned. But secondly, if we're narrowing it down to the folks who truly dump it on the side of the road and don't care about it, don't ever want to see it again and strip it down, those aren't your most responsible people to start out with. And so we take their driver's license and we take the registration for all vehicles that they have, according to this bill. And you can buy a vehicle in the state pretty easy that still has quite a bit of time left in the tags and not transfer the title. So you've got a vehicle to drive. And we've got a lot of people in Oregon, not too responsible people, already driving unlicensed. And when you drive unlicensed, you also drive uninsured because you can't get insurance without a license. So you take someone who is licensed and registered and insured, and you, my fear is that we turn them into people who are driving uninsured. And I would like to think that there's a way of doing what you want to do without getting that consequence, or at least getting the consequence down so that there's only a few of them.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, I guess if we followed that theory, we would never put anybody in jail for any kind of a crime because of the resultant problems that we might face because of it.
If you put them in jail, they're not allowed driving on the road. I'm okay with that. It's just...
Well, I can... We can then develop proof in jail, Mr. Chair.
The fish will go up a little bit.
But I don't think that, I think this would be at least a deterrent to a good many, and if they're that bad off in the first place, chances are they're driving without insurance anyway, so we haven't made anything any different. My feeling is that they would still, this would put enough onus on them if they knew that they couldn't go to California or Washington or some nearby state and get a car there and drive and leave something up here in Oregon, or stay around here in Oregon. If we've got them doing that, they don't deserve to have a driver's license, and they're probably driving uninsured if that's the case, and they're not financially stable. So I don't think we would change that any on that particular group, but at least I'm certain there's a few people around that would like their license well enough they're willing to pay their bill.
Okay, is there further discussion? Thank you, Senator. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on Senate Bill 498? If not, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 498 and open the work session on Senate Bill 5515 with Kate Fair. Mr. Lamont.
Mr. Chairman.
Dr. Vernon, would you come back up? And Prince Washington, could you tell us come up and sit at the table before you ask any questions?
Mr. Chair, what I would like to do procedurally is to walk through my recommendations from items 1 through 4, and then when we have done the walkthrough on my recommendations, then the committee could move number 5.
Okay.
My first recommendation is that we approve the current service level. This current service level is pretty standard, with standard in adjustments for inflation and salary and deletion of one-time phase-in costs. Recommending that we reduce the allocation for the Attorney General expense by 1,302 other funds to reflect the 2.6% reduction in hourly rates for the Attorney General services. From the governor's budget, I'm recommending that we reduce Package 101, which is the state fair subsidy, to achieve administrative efficiency reduction of 4%. That is $29,112. The agency expects to reduce services and supplies expenditures for their annual state fair and employee training expenditures. This will provide a general fund subsidy of estimate $698,697 in general fund. I'm recommending that we approve package 103, which is staffing. This package provides two FTE laborer positions. I believe currently that it's being handled through a public service contract so that we are converting them to positions, but there is no increase in cost, and it will be funded through the a reduction in the service and supplies expenditures. Conceptually approved package 106, capital construction. The governor's budget includes $10,167,661 in lottery back bond proceeds for capital construction projects. The project will be considered in Senate Bill 5527, the capital construction bill. I'm recommending that the subcommittee conceptually approve this, but recommend that 80% of the limitation, which is $8.167 million, be withheld contingent on compliance with the following three budget notes. And I have some narrative discussion that I would like in the budget report. First, that the subcommittee heard a report on a task force to conduct a feasibility study on future functions and funding of the Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center. If you recall, that was the discussion that Senator Dirkworth had with the committee when he was in front of the committee. The Department of Administrative Services has been assigned responsibility for the feasibility task force. The subcommittee expressed strong interest in the study and that the study should be performed under the joint sponsorship of the city, county, and state governments. Each unit of government or its designee is expected to pledge $20,000 for the study, and the contract will be within the resulting $60,000 limit. Budget note number one. The fair will provide, and when I use the term fair, it's shorthand, instead of saying Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center over and over again. The fair will provide staff and other required support to the Department of Administrative Services in developing the report of the feasibility task force. The City of Salem, the State of Oregon, and Marion County are expected to contribute equally to the study. The Department of Administrative Services will report as requested to the interim substantive committee that will be assigned to develop a long-range plan for the Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center, and will submit the final report of the feasibility task force to the committee. Budget note number two.
Sure. Representative Butler,
one question. What's the effect of a conceptual approval that's based upon the capital construction bill? Is that correct?
That's correct. Okay. The effect of a conceptual approval is to basically indicate that the subcommittee agrees with the actions that will be taken in Senate Bill 5527.
Okay. And then, relative to the task force, the city and the county, have they made any expression of their willingness to participate in such a task force?
They're working on that right now. Senator Dissler has been working with the city and county and the state fair to bring that about. So they're currently working on that.
Okay. And perhaps it's addressed later on. Is there any anticipation that private industry will participate in any of the feasibility or any of the ultimate long-range plan for the Oregon State Fair?
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, yes. It's not addressed specifically in here, but by private industry, I'm thinking of the Salem Visitors Association and the Chamber of Commerce, both of whom I believe are very active in this feasibility study.
And they're not named in the feasibility study at this point, but...
That's correct.
Okay.
Also, Mr. Vernon indicated when we heard this budget that they are in the process of trying to reach private subscriptions for aspects of funding for the county fair. So there's a variety of things going on here. It's just not the city and the county and the state fair. It's a variety of things that are going on to try to find fundraising methods too.
I appreciate the work of the chair and legislative official, Mr. Martin. in that process, so I wanted to make sure that the record that we were expanding the scope of it beyond just those two municipal entities, and we're looking also at their ancillary support groups and the other folks that have funding, as well as the private industry sector. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Duke. The narrative talks about city, county, and state governments each pledging $20,000. And Budget Note 1 makes reference to the City of Salem, State of Oregon, and Marion County are expected to contribute equally. So is it $20,000 from the City of Salem?
$20,000 each for a total accumulation of $60,000.
I assumed when I read the budget narrative that that was going to be AOC, LOC, and the State of Oregon. But it's not?
It is not.
It's not very clear.
It's the city of Salem, Marion County, and the State of Oregon.
And this is a figure that Senator Gerser and some of the House representatives from the Salem area worked out with the city and the county and said, let's join together here in this study and see how we can move ahead jointly.
When do you think the feasibility study will be reported to the e-board?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, actually, the report will not be initially to the emergency board. Legislative leadership, if you look at budget note number 3, legislative leadership is going to assign responsibility to an interim substantive committee to develop a long-range plan for the state fair and to come up with any kind of legislative concepts that are necessary. There is a need for the legislature to step forward and say, this is what we want the Oregon State Fair to be for the next 20 years. And the absence of that, I think, has created no end of difficulty for the fair and for the legislature this session and perhaps a couple of sessions before this. So the intent is that an interim substantive committee will be assigned responsibility to deal with what it is that the legislature wants the state fair to be. And these reports, the task force report referenced in budget note number 1 and the master plan that will be developed and is referenced in budget note number 2 will both be developed in conjunction with that interim substantive committee.
Yes.
So the answer to my question is the timeline for the report will be December 2001.
No, Mr. Chair. Well, let me read budget note number 3.
Well, no. Let me interrupt, Senator E. Why don't we go through the budget notes and get down to item 3 eventually, but let's go through the order and then we'll open it up to your questions. I think you'll find out some of the answers as the explanation
okay.
is given.
But it looks like it's December.
Well, Ms. Lamont, would you go ahead?
Sure. Budget note number 2 has to do with the Fairgrounds Modernization Master Plan that the Department of Administrative Services Facilities Division will be working on. That note states that the Department of Administrative Services and the Fair will report to the interim substantive committee that will be assigned to develop a long-range plan for the Oregon State Fair Exposition Center on activities related to the development of the Fairgrounds Modernization Master Plan specified in Senate Bill 5527. The substantive committee will approve the Fairgrounds Modernization Master Plan, and it will be included in the long-range plan of the committee that will be submitted to the Emergency Board and the 2001 Legislative Assembly. I'm suggesting a budget report comment that says that the subcommittee heard testimony about the benefit that the fair provides to the City of Salem and Marion County. The subcommittee also heard testimony regarding their contributions to the Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center. The subcommittee expressed concern that these partners contribute to the ongoing support of the fair. Budget note number 3. Legislative leadership will assign responsibility for developing a long-range plan for the fair to the appropriate interim substantive committee. The committee will develop a strategic plan that addresses the functions, funding, capital construction, and maintenance needs and operations of the center. The plan will address the ongoing financial and other contributions of the state and the city of, and the Salem and Marion County partners. The committee will incorporate the findings and recommendations from the report of the feasibility task force assembled by the Department of Administrative Services, and will also incorporate the Fairgrounds Modernization Master Plan into the long-range plan. The committee will submit the long-range plan to the emergency board by March 2000 and to the 2001 Legislative Assembly. The emergency board may increase the other funds limitation established in Senate Bill 5527 by up to $8,479,015 for bond proceeds and costs upon receipt of the plan.
Okay. Cindy, do you have a question now?
So the master plan, the complete master plan, will be given to the Legislative Assembly in December 2001.
No.
Is that correct?
No.
Well,
December
2000.
Well, prior to the convening of the next session in 2001.
Oh, December 2000, but to the
January 2001. E-board and the substantial committee.
Right. So the complete report will be given to the E-board by March 2000?
That's the intent. So that there is time for them to have bonding authority to do the capital improvement
for the year 2006.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So we are really moving ahead to their to the repair and construction of the fairground before the feasibility study is completed.
No.
Because we're giving them $20,000 for the summer of the bond. For this summer, and then we're going to use $80,000 of the bond in the spring of 2000.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the recommendation is that there be $2 million in bonding authority provided in 5527 to deal with critical facility needs that currently exist.
Okay.
There are buildings that are literally falling down.
Mm-hmm.
No further activity will occur in terms of their facilities until after the feasibility study, the development of the modernization plan, and a report by the interim substantive committee. Those three things have to happen and have to be reported to the emergency board before there is any limitation, any further bonding, and any limitation given to the fair to use of proceeds.
Well, what about the $2 million repair for the summer?
That is recommended.
That is recommended for funding.
So to make my comment about giving them money before the feasibility study is finished is correct, because we are giving them $2 million for over here. And then the $8 million will be spent next March based on feasibility study.
That's correct.
These $2 million of funds that will be used now cannot afford to wait till next March.
Right.
They have a state fair coming up in late August and September, and they need to take immediate action to resolve the safety issues.
Mm-hmm.
That portion is indeed funded before the feasibility study.
Mm-hmm.
But then the feasibility study kicks in, and then they will have an additional $8 million in bonding authority.
That they can spend next March.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But are we kind of putting the cart before the horse again?
No, we're trying to prevent somebody from being killed at the state fair this summer. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to make sure that I understand, the recommendation is that Senate Bill 5527 be passed, which would provide that $2 million. Is that correct?
That's correct. The money is not in this budget.
It's in the 5527 lottery appropriation.
Right.
And it's the $2 million. Will it And I'm trying to remember that 5527, it actually allows for the acquisition of all $10 million.
It's a little confusing. We passed House Bill 2153. House Bill 2153 authorizes the bonding.
Mm-hmm.
House Bill 5527 establishes the expenditure limitation for that bonding authority, and it's for a whole slew of agencies, not just the state board. This bill has the debt service, but does not have the limitation for the bonding.
Okay, and so then the remaining portion of the $10 million total anticipated from the governor's request is that's the portion that follows the report and the record. Thank you very much.
Right. 5527 will not contain that limitation. It will be left up to the emergency board to pass on.
5527 takes effect and probably has an emergency clause.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Representative Sir.
Thank you. Question for Mr. Vernon, the $2 million, which projects would be funded, before the fair this year?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Rusty Vernon, Director of Oregon State Fair. Mr. Chair, Representative Starr. There are several buildings that have been identified by the professional engineers as unsafe for occupancy. A couple of those structures have been, we've been instructed that really either need to be internally braced or removed prior to the fair. They're unsafe for people to be around outside of. Those structures include the poultry building, includes the 4-H FFA barn, which is where all the 4-H and FFA activities take place. It includes the floral structure for a building, unsafe for occupancy, and it includes portions of the horse stadium, where there are bricks that are loose and up to 10 courses of bricks at the top that are sitting in sand. We've already condemned portions of the stabling areas. Those are the kind of areas that are going to be dealt with initially. They are structures that are unsafe to be around, to occupy, and they also are critical structures to the function of the program.
So, quick follow-up. Is this $2 million enough to take care of those critical, life-changing, endangering problems? It seems to me that it's not a lot of money if you're going to take care of the bricks, if you're going to tear down the floor building, or you're going to put additional little photos on it.
Mr. Chair, Representative Starr, fortunately, some of these are minor structures. And some of the repairs are relatively minor in nature, though critical. For instance, at the 4-H and FFA barn, though it's a major structure, the repairs are relatively minor, though critical, amount to probably under $50,000. The floral structure is a relatively minor building. It's going to be in the neighborhood of $300,000, and the poultry building is about $500,000, and that's for complete taking down and restructure of those two buildings. The horse stadium is a much different issue. There's more than or about $2 million just in the horse stadium. But the initial work, which is required to make it safe and to get us to the point of usability, are well within the $2 million that we have coming up. The work to be completed would have to come out of the additional $8 million. And we would probably not have time to do that work prior to next fall anyway. So the short answer to your question is that we think that the $2 million is sufficient. Not only that, we think it is sufficient to give us the seed money for our planning efforts so that the master plan stuff can be developed.
Senator,
Mr. Chair, it doesn't say in here what we do if there's no agreement reached between the city, county, and the state. I didn't hear. This is saying here what we do if the city, county, and the state can't reach agreement.
Mr. Chair, Senator Duke, they are actually participating now, so we fully expect that they will continue to participate. But that will be an issue that the e-board they have to grapple with. I don't know. I can't speak for them as to what level of contribution they are going to be making.
Chair, as you know, I would like something in this that says that if they don't, reached an agreement that's acceptable to the legislature, that we give somebody the authority to go out and look for another site. I mean, obviously I've told the committee before, there are folks in my district who are very interested in the state fair and have a facility and all of that. And I'm not saying let's move it, that's a huge undertaking. But there's no sense in us coming back next session and being in exactly the same position we are today, except that we've invested more money in this site. It was real clear from that city councilman who was here from the city of Salem. They want us to sell the property and put it on the tax roll. Or he, at least, did. He seemed to indicate they all did, but he was the only one speaking. And I don't know. I haven't talked to any of the rest of them. I don't know how prevalent that opinion is.
I think that your comments certainly are well taken. I think that probably it's inappropriate for us to start indicating that the state fair will be moved here or there until the process has an opportunity to work out. I would rather leave the lines of communication open between the legislature and the state fair and the city and the county to negotiate something. Then if it comes back to the board or the substantial committee or whoever, then they can take action to recommend what the future role of the fair might be. But I would rather not be too site-specific going into it, because I think you're limiting yourself what's going to be discussed on the table, either do this or else, and that limits your options going into reasonable negotiations.
I didn't mean to be site-specific and say, if you can't work it out, we're going to move it here. I was simply suggesting that we put something in here that says, if you can't work it out, then we're going to look at moving in.
I'd rather not use that hammer,
Okay, also, Mr. Chair, very quickly, I would hope that would be something that the Secondary Committee would be considering also.
They should really be the ones to drop the hammer. Representative Patrick, you know, Senator.
I have a question and a comment, Mr. Chair. My first question was, I'm concerned how much money this initial $2 million is going towards the horse racing stadium to make it viable as a fair amount of it.
Yeah.
Well, I have poultry, 4-H, FFA barns, squirrel, and then horse racing stadium. So did I?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patrick, there are two horse facilities. There's a racing facility, which is the grandstand.
Okay.
This is the horse stadium, which is for the show horses.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we were there.
It was the red brick building that we were there to see.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. And just a comment along the lines of Senator Duke's recommendation. I'm going to vote for this budget. I don't like the way we're doing it, just giving the $8 million to the e-board. I don't know how else to accomplish it. I just think it's funny that we're making Coos Bay on the Coos Bay pipeline piece of this bonding package go out and have to get a vote in their county to put up money to meet the state bond of $17.7 million that we're doing, yet we're not requiring Marion County to do the same thing. And I don't think that that's equitable, I guess, is what I'm saying, based upon the amount of economic development that Marion County and the City of Salem get as a result of this. I didn't feel like I got any clear answers out of both the commissioners and council people who were here before us previously. I'm going to place my faith in the e-board and hope that they're willing not to pull the trigger if they don't have to do that or aren't comfortable with the plan. So I'm not overly optimistic that that will occur, but I want to watch it carefully because I think it's funny that we have one county have to go out and get approval from their voters for more money, and we're not requiring it of another. And I don't like the way we're doing it, and I think that there's significant enough concerns about the state fair, what the scope of it is, and how it, and what should be offered at the state fair, and what the long-term funding should be. I think it's important to study it. I think it's important at the state fair.
I appreciate your comments. I would point out that the State Fair in Marion County and Hughes County's pipeline are totally different. There isn't a lot of state activity in Hughes County. but there is a lot of state activity in Marion County and also Castle. And so it's a trade-off that you're going to have to look at and discuss is what is the cost of devoting your community to having a state fair versus what is the trade-off on the cost of, in essence, subsidizing the state government because it's off of Nashville. So it's a little different than Coos County. I wouldn't necessarily try to compare the two because I think they're totally different at this point.
Mr. Chair, I withdrew my desire and then now I'm back on the queue, I hope.
Okay.
Because I just need to speak in favor instead of, I mean, I've just heard two comments about their concerns. I actually think most of the concerns have been addressed because of the task force and because of the feasibility study, because of the importance of the state fair, and because of what the chair just said about Marion County. Probably the main employer in Marion County is the state. I mean, so I don't, and Coos County example is totally not indicative of what we're talking about here. And I actually believe it would be putting the cart before the horse to say in here that if they don't find, favorably for, and Marion County doesn't, participate, that we're going to go and look for another site. I really believe what will happen with the task force is that they will be responsive. If they are not, that will then be up to the substantive committee to determine that we don't have any cooperation and why, and maybe why if they find that, why we should look for another location. But I'm supportive of what we're doing here, and I think the concerns have been addressed by the budget notes and the task force and so forth.
Okay. Representative Beck.
I had a question, Rusty, on the $2 million to infuse, just to kind of stabilize things. Has there been any thought been given to, let's say, the chicken coop building? Tearing it down and putting up a tent for the summer while these long-term issues get sorted out. I guess I get concerned about putting in money now for facilities that the task force, your board, whatever, decides later we aren't going to have chickens here anymore or we're not going to have them in that location. Or it's going to be everything's going to be programmed differently. And I guess I get worried about putting in several hundred thousand dollars into facilities that, if they're falling apart, maybe we should just demo them now and put up some kind of temporary structure. I mean, I'm sure you've thought about all this. But
Mr. Chair, Representative Beck, that's exactly what we're doing.
Okay.
We are using temporary structures, both in the floral and in the poultry area. We would not take those structures down even, except for the fact that they've been identified as standing hazards. So the plan is, and this may not be possible to accomplish in the case of the poultry building, that the plan is to, in fact, remove the structures and then use temporary tents, which we, by the way, have had great support from our county fair structure. Gary Timmerman over in Cook County is giving us some tents at about a quarter of what it would cost us to run out and got them. So we're getting some good support there. We're just allowing us to keep our budgets in balance. But the poultry building has a special problem in that it is one of the older structures on the ground, and it's part of what is considered a historical grouping. And so even to remove it, it was going to require some conversation with the Capital Planning Commission and some historical issues with that building, though clearly it's got to come down. You've got to go through some process issues, which we hope we can get done in time to get the building down prior to fair because it's a standing hazard. But we are not attempting to construct facilities. In this particular case, what you see is those two buildings coming down, temporary structures going up, and then the planning going forward, and then reconstruction after the fair.
Okay, Representative
something in the budget notes pretty much all address the long-range plans and capital aspects of things, but I thought, like in the audits that were done at the fair, there was a lot of discussion about cost allocation and staffing needs, and I thought we were going to have some sort of budget note or some sort of discussion about the states that are moving forward with an operational study of its staffing and resources, and also with regard to, you know, how they are a cost allocation process set up so that they could identify more accurately where their money was going, what the staff was being used for, that would help them be more efficient.
Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, those issues should have been resolved. They were short-term issues that were identified as part of the audit process, and it's my recollection that they had, in fact, resolved them before that audit was published, actually. The long-term funding issue is really part of this budget note number 3, and that is taking a look at what a reasonable expenditure plan ought to be for the state fair, including having a facilities maintenance budget, and what subsidy is necessary, what funding sources exist, those kinds of things.
Can I ask you a question? Since the audit was done, did you do an operational study of the utilization of your staff?
Mr. Chair, Reverend Schrader, while that audit was going on, we were implementing the DESFMS system, the Statewide Financial Management System. That system, in fact, gives us the ability to track my project and allocate costs in a different way, and we have done those things as Robin has indicated. But I would also just cautionarily state that the audit did recognize a lack of staff to carry out, in fact, the basic mandates of the state in terms of a lot of the administrative procedures that we're required to follow. And that has not been corrected. We do not have a lot of staff sitting around to do these kind of functions. So though we are clearly doing more than we did, and we will have some ability to cost allocate to facilities and to projects costs and to see where we're making money, where we're losing money, and those kind of issues, we're clearly better off there. I think it's also quite clear that we're still understaffed.
And one of the things that I would hope the Substantive Committee would take a look at is whether or not this should continue to be a standalone agency or should be merged, for example, with some other agency that could provide some administrative support. Again, the study that we did during the interim laid out a variety of different options that exist for them, and that is one of the options that needs to be looked at.
Okay. Mr. Lamont, Senator Duke.
What role do we anticipate in here for the Board or Commission? There's a state fair governing body. What role do we anticipate for them in this?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, the State Fair Commission is an advisory commission. It's not a policy commission. But in fact, the agency has looked at that body as a very underutilized body in the preceding decade or so. During this last couple of years, we turned over the membership there to get to a body that we felt like could help us in our policy areas. So, in fact, the membership of the commission is considerably stronger than it was in the past. They are being treated in our relationship with them in a policy manner, though we clearly understand the decision lies with us. The commission is much more involved in shaping policy and looking at strategic issues now than they have been in the past, and that is how they're functioning with us now.
It appears that we're turning your future over to a legislative committee, and so I just wondered. I didn't realize that they were not a policy group, which may be why we haven't gotten more from them, if we haven't given them any authority.
Okay. Representative Schrader.
Yes, I assume then in budget note number 3, you're also going to be pursuing more aggressive sponsorships and fee increases, and that's going to be part of that study that comes out.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. Representative.
Okay.
Thank you, Sarah of Oregon. Is that where we're headed?
Well,
they sold
the Civil War game yesterday for $1.5 million to the highest bidder. So
that was successful praise.
Now it's Caroline. Now it's the annual Civil War brought to you by Dodge.
You're kidding me. Yes, Senator McGee.
See, I have
No, I just want to comment to Senator McGee, his wife. Senator Yee, go ahead.
I want to correct about their long-range plans.
Yes.
And this involves about a $30 million investment. 10-million-dollar bonds. So I think this study really ought to come in a little earlier than March, because by March, if the feasibility study is not acceptable to the emergency board, they have no choice but fund another summer for maintenance and keep them going. So this feasibility study really needs to come in a little early. And this is only June. They should be able to come in with a feasibility study by December.
The only problem, Senator, is the logistics. They have a state fair in late August into September. And then they have to immediately go to work and anticipation of plans for next summer. Fair immediately the day after the state fair is over with. So I think you have to bear in mind that the reason for the March period was to give them somewhere around December, January to work on the study and then report back to the March E board, because we don't meet every month. So it gives them some time to need the flexibility to best meet their schedule. Mr. Vernon, would you like to respond to anything?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, you're quite correct. The State Fair does, in fact, occupy a little bit of our time here coming up. But there's also a lot of process issues just within the state government. 60 days to get to award bids and get contracts out, and then you get people in. Just when you start adding up all the days that are required, it gets very difficult to talk about doing it much before March. Though I agree with you, if it is possible to do it earlier than that, we certainly shall not wait until March. If we can get it into an earlier e-board, we'll do that, because that's in our interest to do so. March certainly seems to be a reasonable day to try within the confines of both our schedule and the schedule for getting these kind of contracts awarded and the work done.
I just don't like to see we be forced into subsidizing them for another summer.
Well, I think Mr. Vernon is on record here that if they can get it done earlier, they will in fact do it, but that March date is what we said is a deadline.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair,
I'm doing much better planning.
Mm-hmm.
It's done a little early.
Mr. Chair, the other delaying factor is the fact that we have added to this a substantive committee that has total responsibility for coming up with a legislative plan for what we want the state fair to be, and that's going to take time. And the committee itself isn't even designated yet. So there will be, necessary time for the committee to be designated to get themselves familiar with what the issues are, to work with the reports and with the committees that are in place. So I'm concerned that, in fact, March may be optimistic, and that might end up being a bit of a problem in terms of dealing with some of the other issues that need to be dealt with.
Okay, you've heard the presentation on budget note 1, 2, and 3. Now let's move down to 3D at the bottom of the page. And Ms. Lamont, would you finish with your recommendation?
I will. I'm recommending that we delete budget package 107. That anticipated $1.5 million in other funds limitation from legislative action to allocate simulcast revenue. That legislative concept is dead. I'm also recommending that we, on item E, reduce package 950 debt service. The governor's budget included $1.4 million of lottery funds for debt service on lottery-backed bonds. This allocation is reduced by $263,025 due to revised estimates of when the bond sales will occur. I'm also requesting that the Department of Administrative Services unschedule $887,417 of that limitation until the emergency board acts on the long range plan.
Okay, Senator Duke.
Didn't package 107, or doesn't the solution of it put an end to horse racing at the state fair?
No.
Okay.
What it did was create a revenue source of simulcast funds, and that legislation is in doubt currently. And if it were to pass at some later date, we would be able to come back and increase the expenditure limitation.
For some reason, I thought, I remembered that without that, they didn't have enough money to do horse racing, and I just...
Mr. Bernie?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, we in fact do not have any money for horse racing. But there will be horse racing this year because we have a group that wants to conduct a horse race. There's a whole lot of issues around how they got the money to do the horse race, and it comes from the dog track because of the Interstate Horse Racing Act, and the horsemen are actually putting on the race themselves to run the horse meet.
And it won't cost us anything?
And it's not going to cost, as a matter of fact, we're going to make, we wouldn't do that unless they paid rent. So they're actually paying us at a nominal rent. There's a cost plus a couple percentage points. In fact, we're going to make a little revenue on it. Horse racing will occur this year, which will, of course, I know you have an interest, special interest in the Tillamook race, which means the Tillamook race will occur this year also. What happens next year does start to get a good deal more murky. And the issues there revolve around the hub bill, that coming online, generating revenue. Does it generate revenues back in sufficiently to save the fair racing needs and the things? So next year, racing is in fact under some cloud as to what occurs. This year, racing does occur. There's a possibility it occurs next year, but nobody could say for sure.
Okay. Mr. Lamont, there's one other subsection here of item 4.
I am recommending that we add $88,614 other funds expenditure limitation for costs related to the $2 million in bond sales in August of 1999. And with that, I would recommend the following with regard to Senate Bill 5515, that we approve Section 1 General Fund in the amount of $698,697, approve Section 2 Other Funds Limitation in the amount of $11,130,689, approve Section 3 Lottery Funds Limitation in the amount of $1,176,677, and approve a total budget of $14,404,048 and
38.25 FTE. Senator Duke. The $2 million bond, how long is that for?
15 or 15 years.
What's the debt service on that?
$2.1 million per biennium. And that's an estimate based on interest rates which are undetermined at this time. No estimates. Those haven't been issued.
But not yet.
Well, that's for the $10 million. I'm sorry. For the $2 million.
A $2 million bond for 15 years. Sounds like an awful long time to pay off $2 million. And I just was curious as to what the debt service, how much we were paying in interest or debt service on a $2 million bond.
I don't have that with me, but I can get that for you.
Because if it's 2.1, that would be about 2.1, right?
Mr. Chair, Cindy, I'm starting to get back to you with that number, but the interest rates, of course, I'm sorry, we don't know what the interest rates are, but you can estimate, you know, that about 5% or 5.25% or something like that is going to be the interest rates on the bond like that.
About $100,000 a year.
And how are we paying it back? Is it state fair revenue?
No, they're lottery back bond.
Lottery back bond.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Okay.
I would know, I'll summarize the recommendation. The budget notes as presented by LFO, first of all, budget note 1, 2, and 3.
Superintendent Kutub now moves the committee adopt the recommended LFO budget notes, budget note 1, 2, 3, 3D, 3E, and 4. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Yee.
I would like to amend budget note 3 by saying that the committee should submit long-range plans to the emergency board by December 1999.
Senator, if you go to the co-chairs and get their approval, that's fine. But this is the budget note that the co-chairs have approved for the subcommittee to act.
I would like to hear what the committee's consensus is, because if they give us a report by March 2000, it would be too late to change any plans for the summer. We might be forced to subsidize or repair buildings again for the summer, even though the committee may not agree with a long-range plan. But if they give it to us in December, then there is some choices. If we don't want to move ahead, if the Marion County and the city do not participate enough, we don't have to move ahead with the fairgrounds plan. So, and when I talked to Mr. Rush, he said to me the feasibility study can be completed by November. That's what you said to me. I think the earlier we need to know the plan, the better we can plan, have more options for the next summer fairground activity. So,
Mr. Chairman, may I make a comment? There is absolutely nothing in this budget note that would prohibit the trustees of committee from coming in sooner. The March 2000 date is the absolute deadline to be able to issue the bonds, the $8.1 million in bonds with the next bond package that the Department of Administrative Services is planning on going ahead with. And you do have, in addition to the feasibility study and the modernization master plan, you have a substantive committee that has got to develop legislative recommendations, and I'm concerned that they won't even have time to meet the March 2000 deadline.
This feasibility study could be done around the end of 1999-2000.
Senator, he's already answered that if they can do it sooner than March, they will do so. He doesn't know what the time frame is because they have preparations coming up for this year's state fair.
Mr. Chair, I'm just asking him a question whether he could come up.
You could do it sooner, right, Mr. Burger?
Mr. Chair, it's possible it could be done sooner, but I would like to make the point that that is only one of several studies. It is the first study that then goes into a master plan study, which then goes into a long-range plan study. So even getting it done by November doesn't mean that you're done. It just means that you've done the first part of a two or three start.
Move to the next phase.
And then you move to the next phase. So,
perhaps to assuage some of the concerns that Senator Yee might have, number one, we are funding the fair under paragraph 3 of recommendations, the $698,000, as my understanding, funds both years of the fair, and number two, the $2 million is already committed at that particular point right up front under Senate Bill 5527. Thus, we have the $2 million, and we have the operations already in there. And so, if there was any change at all, perhaps it would be in budget mode 3, but the committee would submit its long-range report to the emergency board on or before the March 2000 emergency board. And that would, because it's not going to cost us anything more by having it reported in March.
The motion before is...
Mr. Chairman, could I respond to Representative Butler?
Senator, I think we're delaying. There's some committee members here that have other commitments that they need to be excused, and so I'd like
I
to...
I think this is a serious discussion.
Well...
I would like to respond to Representative Butler. The reason I want to make the plan report earlier is if the emergency board rejects the feasibility study, if the Marion County and the city do not participate enough to bear their share,
then the emergency board can still have time to do other options, whether to let other counties bid for the state fairgrounds site or recommend that they participate more in funding. There's some time before the moving ahead of the summer state fair.
But we will, Mr. Chair, we will have already committed the funds in this budget so that it would not save us anything by moving forward.
It's been $8 million.
No, okay. $8 million was conditional upon the acceptance of the study.
Okay. The motion is to accept the LFO recommendations on the budget note. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? Senator Yee objects? Is there any other objection? God, it's been so approved.
Mr. Chair, I would further move the recommendations to approve the current service level, take the following actions with regard to Senate Bill 5515, approve Section 1 General Fund in the amount of $698,697, approve Section 2 Other Funds Limitation in the amount of $11,130,689, approve Section 3 Lottery Funds Limitation in the amount of $1,176,677, and approve the total budget of $14,404,048 with 38.25 FTE to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
You've heard the discussion that we adopt the LFO recommendation and move Senate Bill 5515 to the full committee as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there objection? Senator Yee will be recording objection. All others will be recorded aye. And work session is closed. Senator Speedhead, you want to say it? Let her say it.
Okay.
Representative Starr works
there.
Thank you. We are adjourned until 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Are we are meeting.